To SER's Arts and Culture Show.
Don't make me say it's so hot right now.
Tan caliente ahora!
Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff. It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to our weekly dose of arts and culture here on it 2SER. So hot right now. Big thanks to the Vulture's Nest crew for talking us through this week in current affairs. But we have a massive show for you today. I'm so excited. We're going to be talking to screen director, producer, actor, and pretty much all-round legend, Wayne Blair. Yes, Indigenous filmmaker Wayne Blair. We're going to be calling him to talk about a new Indigenous filmmaking initiative that's going to, where he's going to be mentoring some of the new and up-and-comers. Also, we're going to be talking to theatre. How do I describe her? Showbiz extraordinaire, Geraldine Turner, who's directing a new play at Riverside Theatres in Parramatta. And as always, Blake Howard from Graffiti with Punctuation. He's going to be talking to us about everything that's happened in pop culture this week. But first of all, we're going to be talking about a bit of matchmaking because we're all about love here at So Hot Right Now. Perfect Match Street Art Festival is kicked off yesterday, but it's happening throughout this weekend. We're talking to Victoria Johnston about what is happening there. But to kick things off, here's a tune from Buena Vista Social Club. This one's called Black Chicken. Enjoy. Thank you. Some Havana beats for you. That is the Buena Vista Social Club with Black Chicken. You're here on It's So Hot right now with me, Sophie Lime. And back for its fourth year, Perfect Match is a street art festival celebrating bold and diverse art in public spaces. Kicking off yesterday, the festival is also pretty much a matchmaking affair with councillors from Sydney's inner west area playing Cupid between residents, businesses and property owners with visual artists. Joining you now is Victoria Johnstone from the Arts and Cultural Development Department at Marrickville Council. Good morning, Victoria.
Hi, Sophie. How are you?
Good. How are you? Busy morning, I can imagine for you.
I'm having a great time. It's a beautiful day and everyone's up walls doing art.
Yeah. So this is pretty much, we've got a huge focus this year on the inner west area. So which areas are we kind of looking at? Big area.
It's massive. So, so each year we do a call out inviting property owners who sort of, it's part of council's multifaceted graffiti prevention approach. So rather than spending millions on, you know, getting rid of stupid tags, bombing, we invite residents to apply, or property owners, or sometimes non-profit organisations, anyone who's got a great wall, to apply to have an artist paint their wall. And then separately we invite artists to apply, and then we play Cupid, like one dating service where we sort of shortlist a few potential property owners, and then we shortlist artists of different styles, and then I'll take the artist's works to samples off to a property owner and say, hey, who do you like? Who do you want to be matched with? And hey, do you want to have a cup of tea together? And then it's really that process. It's really about relationship building. Mm. Where once artists are shortlisted, we literally sit down together and we think about ideas. We talk about personalities, history, pets, things in the environment, things people are passionate about. And then the artist goes off and creates ideas, and then comes back, and then the owner puts in ideas. So it's really the beauty of this project is not only are we creating great art, it's actually created by the community and the artist together. So council literally has a very facilitatory Cupid approach. So we love the passionate process. We do sort of guide the outcome, because obviously we want great contemporary works as an outcome, but it's guiding the artists and the property owners through that. So the offshoots of that are, not only does everyone love the artwork and feel a part of it, it's very site specific, but also a lot of the community who work with the artists really start to understand the creative process and how artists work through that. And so there's a lot of mutual respect between the parties. So, yeah, you can hear I'm in Marrickville.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So I love the beginning. It's a bit like a speed dating as it goes on. It's just dating the artist for all the local community. What kind of creations have you seen come out of like these collaborations?
Well, once again, it really does come from the property owner. One of my favourites this year is Mulga's done one. There's a strata of units behind the Marrickville train station. The guy that applied, his name is Eberto. And when we sat with all the residents, one of them, Alison, said, oh, I really love it in winter here. All the black cockatoos come down and they eat the Banksia bushes. So the artwork is his fabulous artwork, which is great. Mulga-esque cockatoo eating a Banksia like a kid eats an ice cream. And Mulga's written a poem about Eberto, the black cockatoo. So that's quite fun. Dan Wen down at Batch Brewery is doing a great swamp plan, which is homage to the original swamps of Marrickville. And that's part of the biodiversity strategy of the area to bring back swamplands and green the Sydenham industrial precinct. So that's kind of lovely. There's one down at the old Vickers Mill. We're just having a launch here this morning. That's where the original Marrickville Tweed factories were. And A&P have restored the old Vickers Heritage Cottage there. And there's a beautiful heritage exhibition in there. And Alex Lehors has done the most prolific, massive artwork, which tells the story of the tweed industry of Marrickville, for which it became famous. So there's 16 works we've commissioned, and each one has its own story. If you go to the website, innerwest.nsw.gov.au/perfectmatch, you can download a map which has in total, I think, 60 street artworks that we've commissioned over the last 4 years of the program. And then 16 of them are being created over this weekend. So over the weekend, you can go and chat to artists, hear the stories. There's tours, bus tours, cycling tours, walking tours. And then at 3 o'clock, Sunday arvo, come down to Batch Brewery, where we'll launch Dan's new work, and everyone can have a beer, a bespoke beer, with the join the artists in a bit of a celebration of all the creativity. And the property owners will be there too. So it'll be quite a mashup of people.
Oh, wow. So they actually created a beer just for the event.
Oh, I think, well, they're always creating beers.
That's
down
true.
There. I'm just saying, you know, that get together with the property owners and the artists is quite special, because the property owners are as excited about the artworks that have been created as the artists, because they feel they've developed them as well. So it's a really cool vibe. So if you can get down there at 3 o'clock tomorrow, that would be terrific. Or just grab one of the programs and, you know, join a tour. A lot of them take off from the Newtown Art Seat. We've got train tours, Culture Scouts tours at 2 o'clock today, where we actually get off at stops along the train line, starting at Newtown from 2 o'clock outside Cuckoo Kalai, and then going along the train stops all the way to Ashfield, looking at street art there, and then having some wonderful dumplings. It's quite amazing there. So, yes, the Inner West is big now, and it's diverse, and, yeah, so that's exciting. Yeah.
What is it about the Inner West that drives, drives this artistic hub kind of presence compared to other areas in Sydney?
Well, that's the challenge, isn't it? It's keeping, one of the beautiful things about this project, as I said, it really teaches the general community the value of artists. And, you know, it's a very delicate ecosystem, keeping the creatives and the artists in the area and appreciating them and providing spaces. And that's our long-term challenge. We've been fortunate that we've had industrial lands, that we've had, you know, this fabulous area where it has been an artistic hub, and the thing is to keep it here long term, and that's part of our role through commissioning artists and developing understanding of the value of creatives and how important they are, because without it we'd all be dead, wouldn't it?
For sure.
Be honest.
And how effective has it been in stopping graffiti and tagging?
Yeah, tremendously. Yeah, obviously, you know, councils around the world spend a fortune, and I'm now, you know, councils now getting inquiries internationally and from across Australia, and the City of Sydney's adopted a similar motion to develop this model, which isn't so relying on rigid DAs, so that creativity can get out there and property owners can encourage it. What we find is that, you know, one good street art work will spur another one, and the whole respect and quality of work list. A lot of them just simply have not been tagged in 4 years. What I find is occasionally one does get wronged by some sort of thoughtless vandal, then if the artist and the property owner, they generally ring each other and say, hey, let's patch it up before other vandals come along. And then once they've done that, then the kids just, or whoever it is, say, well, you know, it's a waste of my money. That paint is really expensive. So if their tag doesn't stay long, they're likely to stay away. So, look, generally it's really effective. It's certainly effective long term. You can't ever guarantee forever that something's not going to be vandalised. But, you know, once it is, then we deal with it. But the whole thing is about a multifaceted approach where, you know, we do a lot of workshops with kids saying, hey, you know, if you're going to do something in a public space, don't vandal, do something really cool. It could be physical theatre, art. We work with street artists. So it's an educational respect process. So, yeah, it's just about, you know, people knowing that to do cool, good quality stuff is what makes you cool in a public space, as opposed to just, yeah, thoughtless tagging.
For sure. Yep. Victoria, it sounds amazing. Can't wait to get down there, considering I am an inner Westie, so I'll undoubtedly be seeing some of that around. But can't wait to get down there, and thank you so much for talking to us here on 2SER this morning.
Thank you. And look, yeah, just grab a program. Those works aren't going anywhere, so there's 60 of them. So if you want to have a walk one day, any day, midweek, weekend, whatever, got friends from out of town, just grab a map and you can take yourself on the tour. It's all about people doing their own thing. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thanks again, Victoria.
All right. Thanks, Sophie. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Victoria Johnstone, they're talking about Perfect Match. It is happening throughout this weekend around Sydney's inner west area. We'll link you to the full program on 2SER.com so you can see all the locations and activities you can get up to this weekend. We're going to jump to a message from our sponsors. And when we come back, Blake Howard will be on the line.
What keeps you warm in winter? Kissing and cuddling. What boosts your chances of kissing and cuddling? Vinyl Records. Improve your selection and chance of connection. Get down to Newtown Record Fair, your monthly vinyl event featuring stacks of wax to get your love life on track. 11 a.m. to 4 p.m, Saturday, August 5 at the Bank Hotel Beer Garden, King Street, Newtown. NewtownRecordFair.com.au, an affectionate sponsor of 2SER.
The Loft Bar at UTS on Broadway opens from 2 until late every weekday, making it the perfect spot for an early finish or relaxing after work. With craft beer, seasonal draft specials and cocktails on tap, come and unwind in the Loft's shady courtyard, soundtracked each evening by local acoustic musicians. The Loft Bar at UTS on Broadway is your inner city oasis in the heart of Ultimo. 2SER sponsors.
You are listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. But now it's time for your pop culture injection, because it's time for...
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard.
And Sophie Live.
Good morning, Blake Howard of Graffiti with Punctuation.
Good morning, Soph. How are you?
I am fantastic this Saturday morning. I've had a bit of a Rick and Morty fix from the week going with some new episodes of season 3, so I'm pretty happy. The only thing I'm not happy about is maybe Iron Fist getting another season.
Oh, come on. He was always... Like, literally Netflix, they don't tell anyone what ratings are. So we assume that Iron Fist got a lot of views, and just purely by the hatred, there were plenty of people chipping in. So, yeah, it's so weird, because you would think, like, if anyone wasn't going to get a Guernsey for a second series, but, they think they might go on a bit of an autocorrect and see if they can fix the series and make it more popular again. We'll see how they go.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that autocorrect. But speaking of streaming services, Foxtel is now finally going tickety-boo. Game of Thrones is rolling out a bit more better, though HBO had a bit of a leak this week. Far out, Blake.
Yeah. HBO got hacked, which is just baffling, number one, how things like that happen. Foxtel now is actually happening now, which is good. we can confirm that it's happening now. But the thing that I'm most happy about, Soph, and listeners of this show would know that we're absolutely thrilled with, is we've been calling for an Australian institution, a pub to be exact, to show Game of Thrones with the same sort of gusto as they would like a heavyweight championship fight or a finals football game. And ask and ye shall receive. The Balmain Hotel is now booking places and reserving places to watch Game of Thrones on Monday nights.
Weekly. Weekly event.
A weekly event, and you can get down there and drink and be shocked. And I just think it's just one of those things that we threw out into the universe, and I couldn't be happier that it actually stuck.
Like, how? What? Huh? Yes!
Oh, my God. It's like, there. Now I'm dying to get along, and hopefully you and I can get along to one together. And if we do, I think it might be, I kind of want to, but don't want to, because it might be the best experience of watching Game of Thrones in a crowd. So super excited to check it out. And if you're around that area, like, you must check it out.
I know. I feel like now that we've already started on such like a bad foot with this season in terms of streaming and everything going down and whatnot, I'm like, can I just wait for the finale and just like go out with a bang?
Maybe. I think you might have to book in long lead because it seems like it's very, very popular.
Yeah, for sure. So there's one out there. I'm sure if this picks up, I'm sure maybe everyone's local pub will start doing it because, hell, they all have Foxtel for the sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, but moving on. One of our favorite superheroes is, of course, Deadpool.
And the viral marketing campaign of Deadpool continues to be on point. You would remember an amazing marketing campaign of Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds, lying down in his suit on a bearskin rug in front of a fire for some reason.
Was channeling Tom Selleck, a naked Tom Selleck. That was what he was doing.
Bless him. Bless him for channeling naked Tom Selleck. Well, to announce Zazie Beetz as Domino, we saw him spell out her name in Domino's earlier, but to see her in the full redesigned regalia, we've got her laying on a Deadpool rug in front of the very same fire, and she looks absolutely outstanding. So maybe the hottest cast we were just discussing before we jumped on air. At the moment, Ryan Reynolds, ripped as hell. Zazie Beetz, absolute stunner. Josh Brolin, seriously classically square-jawed man, now looking absolutely shredded. As Cables, though. Very attractive cast. But so we wouldn't want to talk about this if we didn't have some kind of stupid, geek, racist BS going on with this announcement this week. This week, people are bitching that it's not exactly the same as the comic book character, even though Deadpool has already drastically reinvented, like, two or three or four characters in the original. So, I mean, grow up. Come on. Seriously, just grow up.
She doesn't look the same. Oh, she's black. I'm not Domino in the comics. Okay, she's deathly white skin. She looks like a zombie.
Yes.
A babying zombie. Okay. And it's like, I don't know if she's black. We can't have a black Domino. It's like, well, you know what? Heinelm was Idris Elba, and my God, he was freaking amazing in
Thor. Yeah, it's just these sorts of things, it's almost not even worth addressing the nonsense anymore. Like, you almost don't want to address it, but you have to. It's so outrageously ridiculous that you have to continue to say it continues to be part of this really ridiculous conversation, and we have to keep addressing it as how ridiculous it is, just so that the message eventually sinks in.
Can't deal.
No. Silliness. But on brighter news, Ian McShane, the legendary Al Swearingen, the legendary Mr. Wednesday from American Gods, continues to be in more things that we love.
Yes, he has been cast as Hellboy's adoptive father, Professor Trevor Broughtonholm, a.k.a. Professor Broom, in the upcoming Hellboy, without Ronald Perlman.
No. Well, let's just gloss over the fact that it's not Guillermo del Toro, but he's the new guy in the new Hellboy, taking over from the amazing John Hurt, the late, great John Hurt. So taking over from him. Look, I think this is great casting. There's been a bit of a passing of the baton from the old Hellboy franchise to the new, and I think more power to them. It was always going to happen. I think people had a bit of a soft spot because we love Guillermo, that people, you know, we would see a third one with Perlman and Guillermo, but, you know, it's superheroes are going to get remade. It's basically a reality that we have to live with, and as long as there's a bit of a sort of nod, yes, thank you very much, it's all good. Us Batman fans, we've seen how many different Batmans have we seen? We just have to sort of live with it, because you know that if you get a bad one, you're eventually going to get another good one.
Well, I think also people are now grown accustomed to there has to be a trilogy. It can't just end with two films. It's always has to be the magic number three, which doesn't always happen to be a magic number three because sometimes the third movie is absolute crap.
Yes, and I will not have the argument. I think you can make two terrible movies in a row and not deserve a three. Let's just go back to Batman Forever and Batman and Robin as cases in point there. So,
we can
skip it. But look, Hellboy, Guillermo del Toro's Hellboy is stunning. I think the fact that he made two of those movies and they're both really excellent, we're lucky.
Yeah, for sure. Now, still on productions, a little Marvel film, tiny Marvel film has gone to production this week with possibly the cutest cast seating.
Yes. Ant-Man and the Wasp. This is actually something I'm moderately excited about. Ant-Man kind of underwhelmed me. I was a little bit of an Edgar Wright, you know, fanboy, and was a bit hurt that Edgar got sort of cast off halfway through that Marvel process, but very glad that he sort of picked it up and re-emerged with Baby Driver, which was excellent. Mm-hmm. And Ant-Man and the Wasp is in production, and the most exciting part of Ant-Man for me, hashtag spoilers if anyone's seen it, it's on Netflix right now, you can check it out, is actually seeing Evangeline Lilly's The Wasp get her outfit. And so it's super exciting to see that, you know, she's getting double billing because she was clearly more suited, you would think, to be a heroic character. So I think Paul Rudd playing sort of second fiddle is going to be perfect for this next flick. And some cool casting as well. The Wasp, the original Ant-Man, his wife is going to be played by Michelle Pfeiffer. So Evangeline Lilly's mum is Michelle Pfeiffer and looks to be making an appearance in this next flick, either in flashback or more, perhaps.
Oh, so amazing. I can't wait. What a cast for what was just, like, you know, a middling Marvel production ended up being probably my favourite ones out of that year that were released.
Yeah, it was kind of a fun, unexpected little heist flick that had superheroes in it. I think that was a really nice direction for Marvel to take. I think, and that's why we love Guardians so much, because it was it ended up being a rollicking space fantasy instead of like another superhero origin story
that's bogged down in every bit of continuity. It was his own little thing, not to mention the best supporting cast.
Yes, yeah, really, really good supporting cast. Really good supporting cast. But yeah, no, so this was exciting because if you check out the YouTube clip, they've got the traditional sort of director's chairs and the on-set chairs, and then they zoom into teeny tiny chairs because you can shrink yourself down when you're at many, you need a tiny chair. Okay. So very cute.
Very, very cute. Well, Blake, that's all we have time for, but thank you so much for another gaggle of geeks this week. We'll catch you next week for more gaggling.
Catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye. We synced up way too well just then. You can catch all of Blake's film reviews on Graffiti with Punctuation or follow him on the Twitters at Blake is Batman or at 2SDR to join the geeky conversation about myself at Soph_Lie. Always happy to have a yarn, especially when it comes to everything pop culture. Now, coming up though shortly, we're going to be talking to the legendary screen and stage director, actor, producer, Wayne Blair. And he's talking about a new initiative called Raw. But to get you there, here's a tune from Ziggy Ramo. This one's brand new one from the Indigenous hip-hop artist. This one's called Same Script. That's one thing for sure.
Yeah, I get down in myself, ayy. I get down in my ways, yeah. I get down on my health, I get down, can I say, yeah. I get down in myself, ayy. I get down in my ways, ayy. I get down in my health, I get down, can I say, yeah. This got me feeling vintage, life's been a scrimmage, ayy. Esco said it was written, as of late I've been feeling indifferent. See, we disconnect from you and me, don't understand that we all from the same seed. Apple didn't fall too far from the tree, we all bleed, we all breathe the same air. No, you cannot touch my hair. Soul engine told you, so no need to stare. I just feel deep down, you know that it's true. In the world that we're told, it's about you.
But this world that we live in really isn't different. All of us struggling, no need to get cross like a Christian. It could be easy one day, you believe me. Know you get down on yourself, ayy. Know you get down on your ways. Know you get down on your health. Get down, I know you say. Know you get down on yourself, ayy. Know you get down on your ways, yeah. Know you get down on your health. You get down, can I say? Just get up, just get up, just get up. And if you're fed up, don't give up. Remember they hating, cause they hate themselves. Just do your own thing, don't care about no one else. Say, we don't care no more, hey, that's one thing for sure. Yeah, we don't care no more, hey, that's one thing for sure. I remember the days when I couldn't find my way. I was running around astray, thought no one else felt the pain. But really, we the same. And you know this shit sounds strange, but I mean this shit sincerely. If you willing to just hear me, we all go through the same shit. Different movies, same script, different guns, same clip. Different liquor, but we all get lit. Take a sip, take a hit real quick. Once I was lost, now I'm found. In the same token, if I'm still swimming, I can still drown. Lift that weight off your shoulders. Fuck what they told you, do what you're supposed to. Know you get down on yourself, ayy. Know you get down on your ways. Know you get down on your health. Get down, I know you say. Know you get down on yourself, ayy. Know you get down in your ways, yeah. Know you get down in your health. You get down, can I say? Just get up, just get up, just get up. And if you're fed up, don't give up. Remember they hating, cause they hate themselves. Just do your own thing, don't care about no one else. Say, we don't care no more, ayy. That's one thing for sure, yeah. We don't care no more, ayy. That's one thing for sure, ayy. Yeah, that's one thing for sure. We don't care no more, hey, that's one thing for sure. Get up, let's get up, hey, we get up, let's get up, hey. We don't care no more, hey, that's one thing for sure.
Out of Perth, that is Ziggy Ramo with Same Script here on at 2SER 107.3. Now, he's been on both sides of the camera as a director, producer and performer, working on incredible Australian productions, including The Sapphires, Gods of Wheat Street, Red Fennel, and, as a geek, my personal favourite, Clever Man, which makes Indigenous filmmaker Wayne Blair a perfect mentor to a new generation of filmmakers in a new initiative called Raw, and he joins us now. Good morning, Wayne.
Hey, good morning, Sophie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, well, thanks. Just I'm in Kununurra, Western Australia, so just a little bit behind you guys, I think.
Working on an exciting project, I hope?
Yeah, we're just doing Mystery Road, it's a new ABC 6-1 Hours, so we're just doing that over here in Kununurra.
Oh, amazing. I didn't realise that was already in production, but there you go.
there's a pre-shoot today. There's a rodeo at Kununurra, so shooting a little bit of the rodeo.
That should be very exciting. What a morning you're going to have.
Yeah, the real rodeo, yeah. So we'll see how we go today.
Hope the bulls behave for you.
Yeah.
Now, you are going to be working, mentoring up-and-coming Indigenous filmmakers in the Raw Initiative. How did you get involved in this project?
Well, it's something close to my heart. This company, Artology, we had a conversation and with Leah and myself and just talking about sort of a new generation, I suppose. Not a new generation, but just opening it up to, some more stories and an avenue how we could do that and sort of put our heads together. And Raw was formed. It hasn't been a short process. It's been a sort of a continuing conversations for the last 6 to 12 months. So that was the idea at the start, and just to sort of put the call out there for a specific idea and see how we go.
Yeah, I mean, for like when you first started out in the industry, how hard was it for you to get a foot in the door and get everything rolling?
Well, that's what I'm doing in WA now. I'm acting, so I started out as an actor and still act. So, it was coming from Queensland especially and living in Sydney, it was hard. It was, you're away from home. But I suppose back in those days what drove you is the fact that you wanted to tell a story and the fact that you're in this industry and you have to sort of, it's an industry you have to work hard at, otherwise you're sort of not get left behind, but you just sort of you just miss out. It's a really tough one in Sydney, but I found it difficult. But because of the acting side of things, that kept me going. And then I didn't even know I wasn't the one to be a filmmaker. This is way before, you know, Wi-Fi. I don't know, Wi-Fi was coming into play, you know, but it was way before, you know, you could make films off your iPhone. So, and I came across this thing, Uncle the Uncle Lester Bostock's Metro Screen. The Metro Screen was functioning here in Sydney, a community place, obviously in Paddington, maybe close to where you guys are now.
Yep.
And I got an opportunity that way, and to make a short five-minute film off the smell of an oily rag, but I got in-kind support and really great people around me. And I sort of see Raw similar in the sense of, you know, you've got an idea and we'll give you the support and, you know, try to hone your skills and or get your skills that are already there that, you know, and get them out and see how we go.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of, even especially when you watch on screen, especially in Australia, there's not much of diversity. Like, I'm an Asian woman and I barely see many Asian faces. We're seeing a lot more Indigenous faces. Are we kind of addressing this issue we have with diversity on our screens in particular?
I'm not too sure. You know, you'd have to ask those commercial stations and, you know, I suppose you've got the, you know, Miranda Tapsell on Love Child, you've got Aaron Pedersen on Jack Irish, you've got Deb Marlman on... you know, Secret Life, not Secret Life of Us, the other show, Offspring. Mm. You know, there are pockets, of course, and I suppose mainstream channels, I just mentioned three, that are sort of currently running. So, yeah, that's okay. You know, I dare say, you know, with other shows, you know, another product as well. I suppose it was interesting last year, whilst we were doing Clever Man, there was Warriors shooting in Melbourne, there was Black Comedy, there was Us. There was two or three things, and that was pretty special in the sense of, you know, around Australia, it was hard to hire Indigenous actors or, you know, Indigenous crew because everyone was working, which was such a good thing. So, you know, in this response of, you know, it'd be great to see a mainstream show on Channel 9 or, you know, Channel 7 with Indigenous characters. But at this point, a good medium for that is the ABC and SBS. But and our short film and, you know, feature films, I suppose, Warwick Thornton's Sweet Country going to Venice and Toronto at this point in time. So, you know, we're still, you know, chipping. No one's sort of quitting. But, yeah, it's still a long way to go, I think, on the commercial stations.
Yeah. Do you see the industry kind of changing a lot faster now to address these issues?
No. I don't know. It's you know, all I can speak is my immediate self, I suppose, to address these issues, you know. Raw is something that I feel like, because, you know, like there's an avenue here where you could possibly get your pilot, you know, and then it's, you know, these channels, you know, they'll take something that's really great. And I suppose with the ABC, they're fantastic in doing that. If they see a sort of a speck, you know, they'll grab it. But, you know, it's not about this immediate one, I felt, for me. Like when I'm working on something, it's you know, it's that sort of long-term effect where you might be in 12 months or 2 years and what you intend to do. I suppose what I intend to do in the next 2 or 3 months is not about the next 2 or 3 months. It's sort of long-term for me and where I want to be in a couple of years. So a lot of these filmmakers that get these opportunities or young storytellers, you know, it'll be about, you know, making the yards when they are doing, you know, that all Murray cast on a Channel 9 TV show in 3 years' time, hopefully, you know. So it's, yeah, you just got to, you know, keep moving and pushing.
Yeah. I think of something on the initiative like this is like the stories that will kind of emerge out of this. What kind of stories are you hoping to see?
Well, you know, just as the sort of brief suggests, I mean, I've just been watching that Atlanta and, you know, 13 Reasons, the good things and the bad things behind that. But, you know, like, I still think I'm sort of young, you know, you know, in my 20s, but I'm not. But, you know, I still feel I have that mind of a 20-year-old sometimes, I suppose, or even a kid, but... You know, you sort of wear these, you know, just Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and there's some of these young people, these millennials that just are all over it, really. And, you know, and this is the new format today with what we're telling things. So I suppose even that name, millennials, I just go, oh, is that the name that they call these people? You know, just that. But, you know, for me, I just, you know, I've got something to learn as well. So, I don't know, you know, so I just, what was your original question, Sophie? Because I just, you know, I just...
What kind of stories are you looking for with initiatives like this?
Their voices. That's my point, I suppose, with this sort of new millennial age, what their voices are, and the stories that we've said in the brief. It's just these new interesting things of how these, younger generation, or this generation with the issues they face today, and what concerns them. And, of course, a new and interesting way of telling it, or the point of difference in this story. That's what I'll be looking for, forward to, whether it be from country Australia, city Australia, wherever you're from. One person in the story or 20 people in the story. It's sort of, when you hear someone that's, we're just throwing a net out there to anyone in Australia that's got that story that they want to tell that concerns themselves or their family or their best friends or as I said, just themselves. It's sort of anything and everything. But And as I said, the brief suggests those stories from around the world. I enjoy it. It's usually those first two or three episodes that pull you in, and then you go, I get it now.
Mm.
But they usually pull you in by the 11th or 12th episode to bring you back to watch next season.
Yeah.
That's the diet of the world these days. 8-part series, 12-part series, etc. So we can sell them to every territory and country in the world. But yeah, so we'll see.
Well, speaking of pulling people in, Clever Man, again, on another cliffhanger. What the hell?
Yeah, we enjoyed making the 6 1-hours. And Leah did the last three episodes in the sense of directing.
Mm.
And I did the first three. And so we worked as a little team again. And that was great. But to do a series like this, I'd never thought I'd be involved in something like this. A second time, of course, but also, it's very brave, it's courageous, it's out there. It really sort of hits that genre world and, coming from 16, 17 years, and I got into Sydney and did my first 5-minute short film, I was thinking I'd be making this stuff, I'd call you a liar if you said that.
Well, it's going gangbusters overseas as well, and people are getting really interested in these Indigenous stories. Like, did you ever anticipate that it would get that big in that kind of sense?
No, not really. That's the thing. I'm not on social media as much as I should be, so I don't know where it's at. I know it's going very well overseas. People have, made their money back, and people are, really, they're supportive of the idea, and they can see a courageous sort of storytelling.
Mm.
So, and done the right way too. So. Yeah, I had no idea about the success of it overseas, but, when we were in Berlin last year, I suppose, and Sydney Festival this year to launch both series, that's pretty special. So, yeah, I sort of gauge it from that. But other than that, it's something I'm proud of.
Mm. You mentioned before, when you were starting out, you never imagined you'd be here. Did you, and you're working with Leah Purcell in this initiative, did you ever think that you would be a role model to this, into the new generation or millennials or however you want to call it, the new batch of Indigenous filmmakers in this way?
No, not really. Oh, you do, but when it happens, you did sort of think that there's a role models here and there, but when people say it it creeps up on you, I have to be honest. But once you're there, once you sit in that world, it's sort of easier. It's a big responsibility, but it's sort of just the way it should be. But for me, in this world, and being that sort of person that's sort of forging through, and yet we're still making mistakes, and it's still learning new things and new ways of doing things. So to be a role model of sorts is great. I mean, this is an opportunity. It's sort of just going, it's being a catalyst for someone out there sitting in their lounge room or their desk or in the backyard, just going, okay, they've got that story. Here's a way we can cultivate it. Just a simple, we can cultivate it. And someone's been kind enough to go, they can see they can see an avenue here of these stories, changing the way we think or feel, or changing a little bit about the world. That's great. So we just come on board and just to sort of throw the net out and just go, okay, here's an opportunity. Write your application in, hand it in, see what happens. That's, worst things can happen. Just write it in, bang, go for it. And then that'll plant a seed. If you get knocked back, but for me, I got knocked back, you know, half a dozen times as I was coming through, and still you get knocked back. That's the way it is. I suppose on a knockback, it's just that your idea wasn't right for that time, but it'll be right. Just got to be patient, I suppose, and have that focus and anything. But anyway, yeah, that's worked out.
Well, as you mentioned, applications are now open. But Wayne, thank you so much for talking to us today. We'll let you get back to filming that rodeo scene.
Yeah, I'll be at the rodeo in about 2 hours. So here we go.
Brilliant.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, Wayne, thank you so much again. We look forward to seeing Mystery Road next year.
Yeah, thanks, Sophie. All right. Speak to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
That there was Wayne Blair talking about the Raw Initiative, among other things. As I mentioned, applications are open now. We'll pop how you can apply up along with the podcast on 2ser.com. We're going to jump back into the music now. Here's a tune from Transfarmers, a bit of electronica for your morning. This one's called Lucinda.
Visit Australia's number one young uni at UTS Open Day on Saturday, August 26. With over 200 scheduled talks, tours and live demos, UTS Open Day is the day to learn about your uni options. Explore state-of-the-art clinical labs, test your future innovator at the Entrepreneurs Hub, immerse yourself in the 360-degree interactive data arena, or just kick back and experience campus life on the fringe of Sydney's CBD. Doors open at 9 a.m. Register now at openday.uts.edu.au. UTS sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
You are listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. And now we're moving along to the theatre world. Now, if you don't already know, anything produced by the iconic Geraldine Turner is kind of a big deal. Geraldine is an Australian actress, singer and director with over 40 years of involvement in the arts industry. She's also an Order of Chivalry recipient for her works in the creative industries. And this year, she's bringing to life the lyrics of Belgian singer Jacques Brel back to the stage at Riverside Theatres. And she joins you now. Good morning, Geraldine.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, I'm very excited about bringing Brel to Riverside. You know, Jacques Brel was, as you said, a Belgian composer, songwriter and really a poet of his generation. He was writing songs, I guess, mainly in the late 50s, 60s and into the 70s. He died in 1978 at 49 from cancer. So he was, taken from us too soon. But his work is just absolutely wonderful for actor-singers to perform. And people might go, oh, who's Jacques Brel? I don't know who he is. But there will be songs, if you come to the show, you will know some of the songs and you'll say, oh, I didn't know he wrote that, And just surprising, wonderful, intelligent, funny, moving songs. There's a little bit of dialogue in the show, but not much. And the dialogue that is there is things that Jacques Brel himself has said. So it's just the most wonderful, fulfilling evening in the theatre. And I have a fabulously talented cast and a lovely band. And Mark Cranston Reid is the musical director. So we're just looking forward to bringing it to the beautiful Riverside Theatre.
Mm. And where did you first discover Jacques?
Well, when I was a very young girl, I was born in Brisbane. I came to Sydney in the early 70s, and the show was on at... there used to be a theatre in Macleay Street in Sydney at the old Chevron Hotel, and it was on there, and I went to see it, and it affected me in a profound way, and I just really... I was too young to be in it then, but I really wanted to be in this show one day, and it's rarely done. And I got the opportunity about 8 years ago to perform in it at the Street Theatre in Canberra. Mm. And that was a terrific production as well. So when Miranda Musical Society, who I'm patron of Miranda Musical Society, when they asked me to direct something, I thought, I know what I want to do. I want to do Jacques Brel is Alive and Well and Living in Paris. And we did it last year at Sutherland and did very, very well. And people, some people came 8 times to
wow.
see it. I mean, it's just one of those, if you don't know his music, you will immediately be drawn to it when you hear it and watch it. And a lot of the songs, it sounds depressing, but a lot of the songs are about war because he wrote during the Vietnam War. So they're sort of protest songs, anti-war songs. But he can write a fabulous love song. I mean, I guess If You Go Away, Never Kick Part is his most famous song, and a lot of people have recorded that. But people have recorded his songs, people like Frank Sinatra, Edith Piaf, Roger McEwen.
Mm.
Roger McEwen, I think, rewrote the English letter, did the translation of the English version of If You Go Away, which is in the show, of course. It's just fantastic material for actor-singers to perform in the way that Sondheim is. But I think the difference is that Sondheim, I mean, I've done a lot of Sondheim in my life, a lot of Sondheim shows, and I love performing Sondheim because he does all the work for you, really. You just have to follow the punctuation marks and bring your talent to it. It's sort of the same with Jacques Brel, but the difference, I think, between Sondheim and Brel is that Sondheim is a great observer of life. He sort of stands to the side and comments on love or whatever he's writing about, relationships. Brel, you feel, is living that moment, standing with you in the centre of the song, and that's the way you must be when you perform Brel. You must be raw and authentic, and there's no room for superficiality in a Brel song. Mm. And so it's a great thing for actor-singers to come to and discover. And the other thing I find extraordinary is I never, ever tire of his songs. They just... more and more wonderful on, the next hearing. So, yeah, it's just a very special show, and I can promise people that they will have a great time and a fulfilling time in the theatre, a great evening that they will talk about on the way home. They won't just forget it immediately and buy an ice cream.
Now, your career, you've been predominantly on stage, and you mentioned before you've performed in Jacques Brel. How was it kind of moving into the director's seat this time?
Well, I've directed a few things over the years, tiny little things, people's cabaret shows and things like that. But this is my first, sort of big-ish thing that I've directed and choreographed. And I guess I always had it in me, but no one asked me to do it. So I have really relished it, and I've leapt at the opportunity and started writing plays as well. I've written to musicals. So they haven't been produced yet, but I hope to get them on soon, sooner than later. But so I'm, you know, as I get older, I'm doing more things creatively, I think, rather than, you know, letting my vision get narrower. I'm broadening my vision as I get older, and I think that's a really good thing. You've got to keep reinventing yourself in this business to stay working, you know.
Yeah, and you've described this production to be your way of giving back to the arts industry. In what way is this a kind of, giving back?
Well, I guess I'm working with young people and I'm guiding them. And happily, my cast, which is wonderful, they're all from a Miranda Musical Society. And, you know, so they're amateur performers, but certainly it is not an amateur performance. They are great singers. And they're doing everything I ask them to do, and they're wonderful. They're very committed to this show, and yes, I feel like I'm giving back in that I'm working with younger folk and giving my experience to them, and that's a wonderful thing, I think.
For shiz. Now, previous productions of Jacques Brel has kind of kept that Berliner cabaret-esque and sardonic attitude. Are you going to...
Yes.
Amp it right up, or are you going to bring it a bit down, or how is this production going to be a bit different from others?
Well, I guess it is you're right in the way that the Weimar Republic, that kind of rawness and brashness you have to bring to Brill, and that's, I think, we are bringing to Brill. But there are some soft, gorgeous moments as well in the show. That's why I keep saying it's a fulfilling evening in the theatre, because you'll be surprised, you'll be challenged to think about war. You'll then hear a beautiful love song that you would swear was written by a woman. He's certainly in touch with his feminine side, our Jacques.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an all-round wonderful evening, I think, in the theatre.
Well, we can't wait to see it. It's starting from Thursday and it will show through to Sunday. But Geraldine...
Friday, two shows Saturday and one show Sunday. And then we're on to Mittagong Playhouse the week after that in the Southern Highlands.
There you go. Just a little trip south for anyone who wants to go to the Highlands. But Geraldine, thank you so much for joining us here on So Hot Right Now.
I'm so pleased to speak to you. Please come and see the show.
We will. Thank you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That there was showbiz Wonder Woman Geraldine Turner talking about the upcoming musical Jacques Brel is alive and well and living in Paris, which will be playing at the Riverside Theatres in Parramatta from Thursday to Sunday. You can jump on the Riverside riversideparramatta.com to buy tickets. We'll also link that on our website, 2ser.com, including this podcast. Our time here is just about up, which is kind of sad because, oh my gosh, what a show did we have for you today. Don't go anywhere, though, because our dub man, Gons, is in the studio prepping up for Dub is in the Air. That is coming up at midday. Big thanks to all our guests, including Geraldine, who you just heard then, Wayne Blair, screen director, producer, actor, pretty much Australian legend, talking about the Raw Initiative, Blake Howard from Graffiti with Punctuation, talking about everything pop culture, as well as Victoria Johnstone from the Marrickville Council, talking about Perfect Match Street Art Festival, which is happening right now. So if you're in the Inner West area, do head on down. I'll leave you with a tune from Quantic 3. This one's called Rada, featuring Dereb the Ambassador. I'm going to go dance with the Gons in the next studio. Till next week. Bye!
Fast healing.